Reminded us, we thank you for your amazing grace. That grace that hunts us down, chases us down, never leaves us, never forsakes us, is always there for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you love us so much that you actually left heaven, came to this earth in the form of Jesus Christ to redeem us, to show us your love. And you stretched your arms out on a cross and said, here's how much I love you. Thank you for that amazing, wonderful grace that is so steeped in love. That love is all we see. As we come before your throne of grace this day, Lord, we thank you for just a vehicle of prayer. The fact that we can look to you. We can utter words or even think thoughts, and that you hear those. Your word instructs us to pray for others, and you have heard these requests this day that have been made. These that have lost loved ones, the Ellis family, the Jones family, still thinking of Sylvia's family with the burial of her son-in-law yesterday. This Florida Highway Patrolman, the people in Afghanistan that served in the military, other policemen around the world, as well as others that have lost their lives and the families that are mourning them even now, those in the paths of the storm, those that have been in accidents, whatever the case, we lift them up and we just ask that even now you would break into those families' lives and just let them know that you're there, that you care, that you're going to hold them tight and hug them close, and Lord, may they feel your love even now. For those who are sick and those who are undergoing rehabilitation, we pray for them even now. We think of Martina and Jackie and Roy Bodemeyer and others, Lord. We just lift them up and just ask that you would be with them. We thank you for those who attend to them. We thank you for those in those homes where they are, and even now that are caring for them, that they work on Sunday, but they do it as a ministry to take care of those in need, and we thank you for them. Ask you to be with each of them and their families at this time, to allow that healing in their bodies to continue, and that they can be back up and serving you again shortly. Pray for others, Lord, that serve us each and every day. Those that are working even this day to keep our lights on, our electricity on. Our law enforcement personnel who are serving us even now, in our emergency and fire personnel, we thank you for them. Ask that you would watch over them. Lord, I want to pray for those that are in leadership over young men. I pray for our scouts. I thank you for them and their leaders. Just give them the wisdom that they need to lead these boys into, I should say boys and girls now, and to influence them in such a positive way that they become the next great leaders of our nation. We pray for our schools, our school teachers, our administrations, and we ask that you would keep them safe, Lord, and give them an environment where they can learn and they can feel like they are safe and be ready to learn. Now, Lord, I pray for our churches. Just ask that even now you would bless this service. Open our ears to receive your word this day. We ask all of this in the matchless name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I already feel like I'm handicapped. I can't walk around and move like I normally do. Man, this may get, well, we'll get through it, won't we? Okay, so pop quiz. Joe says, oh no, not again. I've been setting the stage as we're going through this, remember? I've talked about the fact for the last couple of weeks of several things that we need to remind ourselves of. We've established that we are all people that are called by God, that he calls everybody, and that we need to respond to that call. We've established that the church itself is a community, a group of those people that are called. We've seen that God has called us for a specific purpose, that purpose being to make disciples of Jesus Christ. We've seen that we represent God, that we don't represent ourselves, that we are supposed to be ambassadors for Him. We also saw that we were children of God, but we were adopted children. And we talked a little bit last week about when adopted children come into a family, how they have to learn the stories of the family, if you will, learn the history, and kind of get that DNA built into them, and that we needed to do the same as Christians, that we needed to have the DNA of God in us so that the DNA of God comes out in our actions, our words, and the things that we do. So the question was this then, what stories do we need to hear about God, and who is God? Who is this God that we claim we represent? So we start today, list of 7 or 8 weeks, when we're going to be talking about attributes of God. To do that, first, I want to set the stage here with Scripture. So I'm going to invite you to stand as we read Scripture from the Old Testament in Exodus. From Exodus. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings. I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites has now come to me. I've also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you. This shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. The word of God for the people of God. If you are reading from my notes, which have yellow highlighter on them, when we read that, there was a couple of highlighted pieces in there. God said, I have heard their cry. He said, I know their sufferings. I will deliver you. God is a God that hears the cries of people. God is a God that knew the injustice that was being done to the Israelites, and he promised them he would bring them out of that into a land filled with milk and honey. Here's the first thing I want us to know about the God we serve. God hears the cries of people. He hears you. The God that we represent is not a God with deaf ears of stone. He's not a God that doesn't have a heart. He's not a God who doesn't care. He's compassionate. He's caring. He's loving. He's a God who hears our burdens. He knows our hearts. He understands our sorrows and our tears. And many times, we think this. The situation doesn't change or it gets worse, so we think God doesn't hear. But nothing could be further from the truth. God knew before we ever groaned. King David, I want you to think about him. King David, who was perhaps the greatest king within the Israelite nation, he was chosen by God and he was anointed as a young boy to be king. And he went to the palace and he served Saul with distinction as he calmed him down with his music. But yet, during that time, do you remember what happened? The first thing when David was playing the harp, Saul took a spear and threw at him and missed him and tried to kill him. And David ended up running for his life. And he spent 8-10 years, and I don't remember exactly how many it was, running in the woods, hiding in the caves, eating from whatever he could find, not being around his family or anything else. Why? He did nothing. He just done what he was supposed to do. But yet, he had to run and hide for his life. In fact, if you'll read the whole story, there was one point when he had to act like he was crazy to save his life. Foamed at the mouth and all that good stuff, you know, just to put on an act so that they would leave him alone. It would not kill him. He had to do some strange things. But it's things that we do. He also had this, after he got into the kingship, He had a son named Absalom who tried to kill him and overthrow him and take his place on the throne. He had a daughter that was raped by a son. He had all this stuff come against him, and yet he was the Lord's anointed one. Don't you know David was saying, "Why me, God? Why me, God?" Don't you know he was crying out the same way we do? God, why am I struggling today? God, why is it so hard to make ends meet? God, why did my spouse leave me? God, why did my company let me go? I was the good worker. Why did I get the pink slip? God, why is my child on drugs? God, why did I get this disease? God, when are you going to step in and take care of this? God, when's my miracle going to arrive? And because things do not change or even get worse, we often think, God, do you hear me? Just like David did. But there was a moment of clarity in David's life. In Psalm 18:6, David wrote this. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry to him reached his ears. David realized that God heard his cry, even though he may not have the answer. And this is echoed in the New Testament, that God hears our cries. In the New Testament, we read this from one of the apostles. Well, I thought we did. Hang on, I got to get there, you're right. David writes again in Psalm 34:17, if I can keep up with Debbie. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears, telling us that even when we cry, the Lord hears, and God rescues them from the trouble. Then we go to the New Testament where it's echoed by Peter. Now remember who Peter was. He's the one that denied Christ three times, remember? But yet Peter writes, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayer. In other words, God hears the prayers of the people. And then in 1 John, John, the beloved disciple whom Jesus loved, says, this is the boldness we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. In other words, God's got his ears open. He understands what people are saying. Jesus reminds us of this. Do you remember the story when Jesus was talking and he said, you have not because you ask not or you ask amiss? He told us God hears our prayers, basically. But there was a parable he gave one time in Luke chapter 18, and he was talking about people, and he gave us this parable. It says, then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. Notice that. Pray always, not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for the people. Must mean he was in Washington, D.C. Anyhow, in that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while he refused. But later he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. You ever know anybody like that? You know, I think we've got a term for it that I don't know if it applies all the time, but the squeaking wheel gets the grease. You know, that person that, I'm going to give them what they want just so they'll shut up and leave me alone. That was what this woman was doing. That may be the way we feel sometimes when we keep lifting our prayers to God. But then Jesus said, the Lord said, listen to what that unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? In other words, I tell you the truth. All you got to do is cry out, my Father hears you. We hear you, maybe Jesus could be saying today. We hear you. We know what you're crying for. And we're going to answer that. We're coming. But then he asked the question, will I find that faith on earth today? Meaning, do we have the faith to keep praying? Do we have the faith to keep asking him? Do we have the faith that what we pray for, he hears us? and will respond. He seems to be a God that says, I hear your cry. So here's the question now. Hopefully we've established that fact that God hears the prayers or the cry or the groanings, however you may want to put it, of the people. But as Christians in the church, do we hear the cry of those outside? I may even want to say, do we hear the cry of those sitting right in here with us, next to us? Notice we assume, you know what that does. We assume that the cries of the people are cries for justice or are cries that are righteous, if you will. But we're never told that for sure. We're told God hears our cry, whatever that cry may be. Whether it's just or not, that's a different story, isn't it? But let me ask this question. Does it matter if you're in the right or not, if you're hurting? Probably not, does it? That doesn't matter if your actions cause the hurt. You still hurt. And God still hears that cry. He knows that. But do we hear him? Because oftentimes we cut off the cries of the people who don't think like we do or don't look like we do. Who's out there crying that the church and we as Christians may need to hear? Let me give you some examples. How about that single parent that's struggling to make ends meet and take care of their children and just don't seem quite to be able to do it? How about that unloved child out there that's wondering, what did I do to be neglected and unloved? Or how about the abused family member, whether it be a child or a spouse or an elderly grandparent, but this family member that's abused and doesn't understand why the one that they love so much mistreats them verbally, physically, or psychologically? How about the grieving spouse? The one that says, why him, why her? Why me, why now? The one that says, can I ever love again? How can I even go on living when I hurt so bad? I want to die too. How about that forgotten man or woman that's overlooked, whoever they are and wherever they are? People we walk right by and never notice them. And I'm not talking about just homeless people. People that look like you and I, but they just don't verbalize what they're going through. They just kind of are the wallflowers that stay in the back and don't say anything. And you know their name maybe, and you know they're there, but that's about all. You walk right by them. How about the working poor? They work so hard and so long every day, but all they can do is eke out just enough to survive. Not live, just survive. They live paycheck to paycheck, and sometimes not even that. How about the veteran that's just back from a 2-year stint in the Middle East? And they can't sleep at night. They wake up in cold sweats. And the only way they can get any sleep is to take another hit of the bottle or down another pill. Do we hear them? Do we think about them? Does God hear them? Of course she does. How about the spouse that's dealing with a loved one's terminal illness? Or maybe even worse, one dealing with a loved one's dementia or Alzheimer's. When they go in and they can remember, they can see the physical body and they remember all the joy they had, and yet that one doesn't even recognize who they are, the hurt and the pain that they have. There are others crying. There's a host of others. They're screaming out, where is justice? I'm innocent. How come nobody will listen to me? I was wronged. I'm the victim. How come I can't even get somebody to sit down and hear me? Who are they? Those that are in need of a safe place to live because of the drug wars going on in their neighborhood or their country. Those that live in neighborhoods where they're afraid to show their face because of gangs. Those that are in countries that are war-torn those that are having religious arguments and fights, especially like in the Middle East and Somalia and other places. Those that just because of the color of their skin, they're targeted and pushed back. There are others, the hungry, the homeless. There are many that hurt. There are many that are lonely. There are many that are forgotten. This is the least of these, as Jesus would say. The ones that he spent his time with, the ones that he had compassion upon. Do we hear their cry? Let me give you a specific example of something that happens. We hear the cry of those who lose loved ones. Thank you, Lake Gibson. You heard that cry with Paula Drummond and opened the church for them to have the service here yesterday. Even though they no longer come here, they're a member of somewhere else, but this church could host it. Their church couldn't. And we stepped out and we did that. And thank you. You heard her cry. That's what we're talking about. Do we hear the cry of these people that we can help, that God's given us the ability to reach out and to provide just a little bit of comfort to them? Souls that we see every day, people we may identify with, but also people that go unnoticed. And maybe I should ask this question: do we even want to hear their cry? Because some of them we have to get close to. Be honest with me. There are a lot of times when people put on facades, they put on a mask because they don't want you to know how bad they hurt. They don't want you to know what they're going through because they think if they tell you what they're going through, you're going to look at them as a failure, as a loser. They're going to be diminished in your eyes. They just don't want to deal with it. They may not want to feel like you're having sympathy upon them. They don't know how to ask for help. How are we doing at reaching those people? At just being their friend, a friend in such a way that they feel like they can open up and say, hey, I got this problem. Or, hey, do you know how you can help me? Or, hey, will you just listen? You know, sometimes that's all it takes. Just listen. You can't do nothing about it, maybe, but if somebody listens and just says, I understand, let me pray for you, that will help. Those people may be sitting on the bench next to you today. They may be sitting in the school next to you. They may be working at the job you work at. They may be your boss or they may be under you, but they're out there. The world is full of them. How are we doing at hearing their cry? If God hears their cry, shouldn't we? And if God cares, shouldn't we? So how do we do this? One by one. Each one of us has to take a part. We have to get to know other people. We have to have relationships with other people. We have to be friends, real friends. You know what real friends do? They don't ask, what can you give me before they help? They just go help. They don't ask, what can you do for me? They just say, what can I do for you? How can I help you? And they do that. And as they do that, they build a relationship. And as they build that relationship, especially if you're Christians, people may say, well, why do you do this? Well, because Jesus loves you and I love you. And suddenly the doors start to open. And chains start to break. And people start to lose addictions because God starts to work through his people, through the church. Hearing the cry is the first step. Responding to it is the next one, which we'll talk about later. So here's the questions today. Do we hear the cries of those in pain as the church or even as individual Christians? And if we do hear this cry, do we respond to it or do we ignore it? So take your connection card now. What is your next step? Could it be to memorize Luke 18:7? Which was when Jesus was telling the story. He said, will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping him? And as you memorize that, remind yourself, God hears them. I need to hear them. Or maybe you can check this one. Maybe you need to be reminded of this today. I know that God hears my cry. You may be one of those in the situations that, God, do you hear me? Be assured he does. Check that to know that God hears you, even as you cry silently. Or maybe we need to check the next one that says, I will hear the cry of others. That we've seen people hurting, but we kind of turn a deaf ear when we need to listen. Maybe you can even go a step further and say, I will do my best to alleviate the suffering of those whose cry I hear. That would be a great step. And maybe we all need to check this one. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you hear us. Thank you that even when I don't think you're listening, I know you're listening. So thank you for hearing me. Whatever your need, we invite you to check those. You can drop those in the collection plates when they come by in just a minute. But first, let me... Guys, hold up just a minute. I'm trying to listen to the Holy Spirit, and the words don't want to come out. I think there are a lot of people in here hurt. There are a lot of people that maybe you're not hurting, but you know someone that's hurting. Your family's hurting. So I want to do something different for the altar call today. I'm going to invite the ushers up in a minute. But at the altar call, if you want to pray for yourself or somebody else, come to the altar and pray. I'm not going to, unless you raise your hand and ask me to come over there, I'm not going to bother you. But let's get serious about this, God hearing our cry. And let's cry out to him, whatever that cry is that you may have or that you may need or that your family needs, and bring it to the altar. And I ask you to do that for this reason. You can pray where you're at. Yeah. God has this thing about him that when people come together and come to him and this altar represents him in a special way, he's got this thing that it moves him. It's kind of like when your kid comes up and cries and begs, you know, oh, Dwight's thinking he's shaking his head, but, you know, when they come up and they pull on you, Daddy, I really want to do that. Yeah. You know you're going to Disney World even though you don't want to. Yeah. God's got that about him. And this is the pant leg, if you will, that we come and we bow down to and we cry. So I'm going to invite you to come up here and pray, if you would, when we open up the altar. If the ushers will come forward now at this time.